Hello, everyone. And Cheryl, just as a backup, but you know, unless I let you know later that I had a problem, you know, it's not needed to be saved. So, hello, everyone. Good to see you. Welcome to the Guiding Lights. And as you know, we are very, very slowly looking at the spiritual teaching of Ramana Maharshi. And today we're going to be on page 5 of that book, beginning with question number 11. But before we do that, if you know me very well, you know I like to listen to a song. So we're going to begin. And I'll tell you, let me just tell you a secret why I typically like to listen to a song. I have a lot of work to do. And so I sat here and work right up until I hear Cheryl introducing me. And in fact, I was just working on, we're building a new website, and I was just working on the new website. And so I hear Cheryl introduce me. I'm like, ooh, and I save my work. I log out of the website. I come over here, and I'm ready. But a nice little transition is kind of sweet for me, don't you think, to go from that work to this. So that's why I like to play a song when I first start. It's that transition for me. So the song that I have selected for today is by an artist known as Stephen Walters, and the name of the song is Always Home.
Find that truth was always known, and there's always hope. There's always hope. Maybe we have wandered into this labyrinth of illusion, so that we can end all doubt and erase any and find within our minds what our hearts have always known. There's always hope. There's always
the transition is complete. So what I'm going to do is read the question, read the answer, and see where it takes us. All right, so beginning on page 5 of the Spiritual Teaching of Ramana Maharshi, question number 11. What is the means for constantly holding on to the thought, who am I? And since it's been a couple of weeks since I've been here, let me just do a little bit of a review. Question number 10 was, how will the mind become quiet? And Ramana Maharshi's answer was, by the inquiry, who am I? The thought, who am I, will destroy all other thoughts. And like the stick used for stirring the burning pyre, it will itself in the end get destroyed. Then there will arise self-realization. So because Ramana Maharshi just told the questioner that who am I is the tool that will render the mind quiet, the next question is, the one we're looking at now, number 11, what is the means for constantly holding on to the thought, who am I? And this is the answer. When other thoughts arise, one should not pursue them, but should inquire, to whom did they arise? It does not matter how many thoughts arise. As each thought arises, one should inquire with diligence, to whom has this thought arisen? The answer that would emerge would be, to me. Thereupon, if one inquires, who am I, the mind will go back to its source, and the thought that arose will become quiet. With repeated practice in this manner, the mind will develop the skill to stay in its source. When the mind that is subtle goes out through the brain and the sense organs, the gross names and forms appear. When it stays in the heart, the names and forms disappear. Not letting the mind go out, but retaining it in the heart, it is what is called inwardness. Letting the mind go out of the heart is known as externalization. Thus, when the mind stays in the heart, the I, which is the source of all thoughts, will go, and the true self, which ever exists, will shine. Whatever one does, one should do without egoity, I. If one acts in that way, all will appear as of the nature of Shiva, or God. So, Ramana Maharshi does not say that he's speaking about meditation here. In other words, if someone was really disciplined, this practice could be practiced while going about other tasks. You know, it's like, let's say we're doing dishes, brushing our teeth, taking a shower, mowing the lawn, washing the car, etc., etc. Because as I'm sure you all have discovered, when we're doing these types of activities that don't really require 100% concentration, the mind tends to wander. It just chatters. And what Ramana Maharshi is saying is that, it's similar to what Jesus says in the Course. Jesus says in the Course, you are far too tolerant of mind wandering. And Ramana Maharshi is taking that comment one step further, and that he is saying that we can use self-inquiry to stop mind wandering and to remain focused inwardly on the true self. And again, this can be done in meditation. And in fact, I would say that meditation is an excellent time to do this, right? As you're sitting in meditation, you're not involved in anything else. So like you're not cutting carrots, so there's no accident of cutting off your finger. You're not driving, so there's no accident of, you know, driving into something. You know, you're sitting very safely with your eyes closed. So that's an excellent, excellent opportunity to practice this type of self-inquiry. But it doesn't have to be limited to meditation. It can happen anytime. And again, the way this type of self-inquiry works, and it is very disciplined, which I think might also really lend itself to meditation because, at least for me, I'll just speak for myself, meditation is a specific time set aside for the utmost discipline. It really is, you know, because I'm not distracted by, oh, what font do I want on the new website? Right? That's a thought, but it's still a thought I need to consider when I'm building a new website. What font do I want for heading one? And what font do I want for heading two? Right? When I'm in meditation, I don't need to be thinking about that. When I'm building the website, I do. But when I'm in meditation, I don't. In fact, when I'm in meditation, when I have that hour or 2 hours that I've set aside for meditation, I'm not engaged in any other activity. There's nothing else that has to be done. There's nothing else that has to be thought about. I am completely available for disciplined focus. And so that's a wonderful time, at least to me, to practice this type of self-inquiry, even though it can be practiced other times as well. And I would say especially for a beginner, and some of us old folks are beginners, right? We're still beginners. You know, maybe after we practice it a lot in meditation, in our disciplined focus time, then maybe it will become more natural when we're in other activities that still require some outward attention, right? Because we've built the habit. But meditation is probably the perfect time to really build that habit of self-inquiry. Oh, Hal says the answer just answered a question he asked himself this morning. That's perfect. So the way this works, and the reason I'm explaining this to you, by the way, is because in a moment I'm going to probably set a timer for like 10 minutes. We won't do too long because this is a teaching time. But I'm probably going to set a timer for about 10 minutes. I'll put on some pleasant music. And then I'm going to stop talking for 10 minutes and I'm going to close my eyes and I'm going to practice the self-inquiry, very disciplined, very focused, for just 10 minutes. And I invite you to do the same. And I can't do this as a guided meditation because we're each going to need to respond to our own thoughts. You know, and the thoughts that are rising in my mind and the rate at which they are rising are going to be different than the thoughts that are arising in your mind and the rate at which they are arising. So we each need to do this for ourselves. So what I want to do is just go over the instructions very carefully first, make sure everybody understands how to practice, and then we'll just devote 10 minutes to practice. So the question was, again, what is the means for constantly holding on to the thought, who am I? And it's funny because when Ramana begins to answer, he actually answers by giving us another question. The other question is, to whom has this thought arisen? And so the way this works, and this is really very much like the self-inquiry that I was taught in the teachings of Inner Ramana. It's the same, I think. The way this works is, you know, I close my eyes. I have every intention of going into a thoughtless 10-minute period of just watching awareness. But, of course, a thought arises. So I close my eyes. I'm going to be still. Of course, right now I'm having trouble getting a thought to arise because I'm doing this out loud. But let's just be patient. One will. So I close my eyes. I'm going to be still. And a thought arises that I need to return Dave's phone call. So what I do is I look at that thought and I ask, to whom does this thought arise? And when I ask, to whom does this thought arise, I turn the attention to look back at, funny, the word that's coming to my mind is the owner. We could call it the source, we could call it the watcher, we could call it, you know, awareness. To whom does this thought arise? I turn my attention around and I look. I look at what I am instead of looking at the thought. And once my attention is focused on what I am, I ask, who am I? And I let my attention rest with awareness with myself. And I stay there in quiet, resting with awareness for as long as it lasts, even if it's only a few seconds until the next thought arises. But when the next thought arises, oh yeah, I have that appointment later this afternoon, I respond by saying, to whom does this thought arise? I turn my attention back towards the source, the watcher. I ask, who am I? And I rest in awareness. And that's it. That's the practice for 10 minutes. So what's interesting about the practice is if the mind is quiet, there's no questioning occurring, right? The questioning begins because the mind wasn't quiet, because a thought arose. Another thing that's really interesting about this practice is every single thought that arises, the questioning process is used on. And that's really a big difference than what sometimes happens in meditation. I'm assuming everybody has had this experience. Remember that first thought that arose was, oh yeah, I have to return Dave's phone call. Well, typically what happens is we don't question that first thought. And so another thought comes. You know, actually there's about, Dave has called about 3 or 4 times. I should probably listen to all of his messages before I call him back. I don't really have time for a long conversation. When am I going to call him back? I can't really call him back right after my teaching. I mean, I will have a little bit of time there, but I need to do this and this. And if I call Dave, he'll probably want to talk longer, and I won't have time for this and this. And then I have that other appointment. And you're right, the chatter just continues, right? It just goes on and on out of the first thought. And so when we practice this inquiry that we're being asked to practice on the first thought, the mind goes quiet right after just one thought, and it does not further explore the conversation in the mind. And again, that's regardless of what the thought is. Regardless of what the thought is. So, you know, we're going to be doing this for 10 minutes, so the question may come up, you know, in the mind, I wonder how much longer. Right? I wonder how much longer. To whom does this thought arise? Turn the attention back to, for some reason the owner keeps coming up in my mind today. Back to the owner. Back to the source. Back to awareness. Back to the looker. And then with attention on the looker, who am I? And that leads to a restful lingering with the looker, with awareness, until the next thought arises and we do the same thing. So 10 minutes. You think we can do it for 10 minutes? Let me find some nice music for us. Here's some nice music that is kind of personalityless, which I think is probably important for this type of meditation. But yet, you know, you can tell there's still sound in Pal Talk because there's noise coming through. This is Liquid Mind. Where's my phone? I'm going to set my timer on my phone for 10 minutes, so we'll hear the little alarm go off after 10 minutes. And we'll each do this on our own, because it's really the only way to do it. We're going to put on airplane mode, so nobody will disturb us during our meditation. That's what I always do. All right, let me start the music and then I'll start the alarm. Here we go. Remember, to whom does this thought arise? And then who am I to every thought that comes for just 10 minutes?
Thank you.
So that was 10 minutes. So I don't know if anyone else did that with me, and I don't know if anyone else wants to share their experience. If you do, please put up encore. I think I want to do it again. We might just do it again, because that's the way I felt too. Let me talk a little bit about my experience, and then if anyone else wants to share their experience, they can. In a way, this is not new to me because I practice this every day. I thought I did. Let's put it that way. I thought I did. Every day I use, you know, basically to whom does this thought appear and who am I in order to get me to awareness. What I noticed in this 10 minutes is I don't do it on every thought, because as soon as I started doing it on every thought, this huge, huge resistance arose in me. And in fact, I know you heard me cough. That's where the cough came from. The cough came through the resistance. And so after the cough, I went back and I did it again. And again, there was this huge, huge resistance, which of course I'm not looking at time, so I don't know how long it lasted, but it probably lasted another minute, minute and a half, 2 minutes. And then the resistance, I guess, just kind of died because I didn't give in to it, right? And then, I fell in love with the practice. I wanted to keep doing it. I didn't want to stop. And so when Hal said encore, I'm like, yeah, that's what I want to do. I want to do it again. And we'll see. Maybe we will. But what I learned from sitting down with you and doing this disciplined practice for 2 minutes is that I'm not at all perfectly disciplined in my meditation, because in my meditation I do it somewhat, but I might let 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 sentences pass before I ask, to whom does this thought arise and who am I? You know, so I still do it, right? I still do it, and that's still the tool I use, but I don't do it on the very first sentence. And it's so funny that I'm going to have to say the ego in me did not want me to do it on the very first sentence, did not like that, and I had a strong, strong resistance, at least in the beginning. Is there anyone else who wants to share their experience with that practice? All right, Hal, the mic is yours.
Can you hear me okay? Yeah, I love that very much and would have loved to continue it on. I didn't have any resistance like you did, Regina. And maybe it's because, as I mentioned earlier, the answer to this question, somewhat answering something that came up to me actually last night. And I was laying in bed, and suddenly I realized that there's always been somebody I've been talking to in my mind. And I thought, well, that's kind of strange. And what about just being alone for a while? And so I think part of the answer on page 6 was that whatever one does, one should do without the egoity eye or the ego eye. And I realized that just asking questions or thoughts that come up is coming from ego. And as I asked the question, for whom do these thoughts arise? And I said, me. And then I said, who am I? And then I started saying, well, who was asking this question? Who am I? And I think that was somewhat my ego trying to nudge itself back into the conversation instead of just being quiet. But one other thing before I dropped the mic was that I noticed that there weren't always thoughts that arose in my mind. There were pictures.
Yes.
And so I even asked the question, for who do these pictures arise? And at that, I'll drop the mic.
Yeah, thank you for saying that, Hal. I had the exact same experience, that sometimes it was pictures. And I would do the same thing. I would say, to whom, I still said, to whom do these thoughts, because I saw the pictures as a form of thought, but I would practice on the pictures that arose as well. What I also found was that near the end of the meditation, I started to want to reduce the wordiness of the questions. And so, and if we'd had more time, I would have practiced it and seen how that went. So instead of, to whom does this thought arise, I wanted to just say, to whom. And let the entire question be encapsulated in that, yeah. And then instead of, who am I just wanted to say, I. So the questions themselves were beginning to feel too wordy to me. But we ended just as I was getting ready to shift into that practice. Cheryl, the mic is yours.
Thank you. Interesting. I made the decision to keep my eyes open, and what inspired me to raise my hand is that's exactly what I did. I had a vision of us actually together, all of us. I just kept looking at everyone's names, and I wasn't thinking, but I was just looking at the names and visualizing all of us sitting together in a circle. And then I felt I had to go to the bathroom, and then I asked myself, you know, to whom does this thought arise? And I just let it pass, you know, and I just wanted to just go back. And because I had my eyes open, I really just focused on seeing all of you with me, with us, you know, all together. So that was my experience. And, it is a little challenging to keep my eyes open and to be aware of the board, but when I was able to really just focus on us all being together as one group, it was actually very, very beautiful. Dropping the mic.
Yeah, that's true. Cheryl has a job to do here, which is watch the board, which would make it harder for her to close her eyes and do a 10-minute meditation. So thank you, Cheryl. Is there anyone else who would like to share? Well, tell you what, because, you know, it's funny, I'm teaching this Ramana Maharshi book differently than I think I've ever taught before. And I've been teaching in Pal Talk since 2005, so a very long time. But instead of teaching in the way that I've always taught, what I really feel to do with this book is just let this book be a guide to practice. So I don't feel like we need to rush on to the next question. I feel like we can probably do another 10 minutes of practice. But what I would like to do before we do another 10 minutes of practice is I would like to read the question and answer again. Just, you know, sometimes when you hear the question and answer and then you practice it, and then you hear it again, you might pick up another detail, right, that you missed before. So I'm going to read it again. I notice Hal has typed, I got an answer once. It said, I am the infinite within the infinite. So I'm going to read the question, read the answer again, and then we'll have time for another 10-minute practice. I'm going to turn my alarm down a little bit, though, because, boy, when that went off, that felt loud to me. I don't know how it felt to you guys. I was like, whoa. So let me just see if I can turn that ringer down a little bit. All right, so I'll read the question, read the answer, start the music. We'll do another 10 minutes of practice, and that will be it for today. So here is the question. What is the means for constantly holding on to the thought, who am I? And again, for those of you who have joined us since we read the question before, the previous question was, how do I make the mind quiet? And the answer was by the inquiry, who am I? So now this question, what is the means for constantly holding on to the thought, who am I? And here is the answer. When other thoughts arise, one should not pursue them, but should inquire, to whom did they arise? It does not matter how many thoughts arise. As each thought arises, one should inquire with diligence, to whom has this thought arisen? The answer that would emerge would be, to me. Thereupon, if one inquires, who am I? The mind will go back to its source, and the thought that arose will become quiet. With repeated practice in this manner, the mind will develop the skill to stay in its source. When the mind that is subtle goes out through the brain and the sense organs, the gross names and forms appear. When it stays in the heart, the names and forms disappear. Not letting the mind go out, but retaining it in the heart, is what is called inwardness. Letting the mind go out of the heart is known as externalization. Thus, when the mind stays in the heart, the I, which is the source of all thoughts, will go, and the self, which ever exists, will shine. Whatever one does, one should do without egoity, I. If one acts in that way, all will appear as the nature of Shiva, God. And so again, what's definitely implied there is that this inquiry doesn't need to be only practiced in meditation, that it can be practiced in our day-to-day life, right? But as we mentioned, it might be good to use meditation to develop the habit because you have a concentrated opportunity to do so. So I've got the timer still set for 10 minutes, and let's give this another try, shall we? So here we go.
Thank you.
was another 10 minutes of practice. And what I noticed that time was the practice didn't have the resistance in the beginning. It was a gentler practice, a softer practice. And then as time went on, so again, I don't know what point, because, you know, eyes were closed and all that, but let's say the 6 minute point, I started noticing two or three sentences slipping by before I would say, to whom. I was practicing the to whom. And so when I started noticing that sentences were starting to slip by, I decided to go back to the longer version. You know, to whom do these thoughts appear and who am I? So it takes a lot of discipline, right? Cheryl is saying, can you repeat when the mind stays in the heart, then what? I was writing it down. Sure. Well, he says those exact words a few times, so I don't know which one you want, Cheryl. Let's see. Here is one. When the mind stays in the heart, the names and forms disappear. Not letting the mind go out, but retaining it in the heart, is what is called inwardness. Thus, when the mind stays in the heart, the I, which is the source of all thoughts, will go. And the self, which ever exists, will shine. When the mind stays in the heart, the I, which is the source of all thoughts, will go. That would be the mental I. And the self, which ever exists, will shine. That would be the true I, or the awareness, the one that doesn't think I, right? So so this is Ramana Maharshi's recommendation for how to constantly hold on to the thought, who am I? And basically the answer is, don't let other thoughts arise, right? Every time a thought arises, turn the attention to whom does this thought arise and who am I? And again, based on the way he gives the answer, since he ends with whatever one does, one should do without egoity I, right? He's not recommending this as a meditation practice only. He is really saying this is something that you can be doing in your everyday life, since, as we know, we are far too tolerant of mind wandering. This can be used in everyday life in order to stop the mind wandering and focus attention on awareness. But as we talked about, doing it during a disciplined meditation time is a good way to get in the habit of practicing inquiry, right? Because you have that focus time and you're not distracted by something else that you may be doing at the same time. Now, just to give you a heads up, next week we're going to look at the question, are there no other means for making the mind quiet? So that will be next week's question. And for now, I want to say thank you to those of you who practiced that with me. And I am releasing the mic.